Do you know who will end up getting you fucking snapped in half by Steven Seagal?
Glenn?
Yeah. He's bound to tweet. He's going to tweet Steven Seagal and you're going to end up getting snapped in half.
I hope he does. I hope he does. Paul, I would fight Steven Seagal.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Movie Chef podcast where we make a meal out of movies. I'm your host, Tebs. Here's my executive host, Corm. You look like you're about to have... Are you okay?
Sorry, I was just about to cough and you started talking. Hold on.
When has that ever stopped you in the past? Okay, well, while he's coughing away, we make a meal out of movies. Tebs and Corm are bringing you another
He's back.
I was hoping we were going to do that for an hour and a half, but anyway.
An hour and a half?
Jesus. Yeah, has anybody mentioned how hot it is at the minute?
It's too damn hot. My skin is not built for this, Paul. It's not built for this.
I am a very pale, pale man with freckles. I walk past a tanning salon and sunburn.
I'm a pasty, pasty Tyrone man. I am pure bog, man. I am a bog person.
You've actually got extended family that still throw rocks at the sun every time it comes out in the summer. So.
That's me. That's me and the kids. Go away.
So, what about my bike, Daddy? Anything, son, launch it.
It's only a shadow comic. Witchcraft.
So, yeah, apart from sweating all week, what you been up to?
Watching a lot of stuff. I just finished Sandman as well.
Okay, quickly on Sandman, spoiler-free review.
Spoiler-free. I think it would annoy you. I think anybody who listens to the podcast will figure out why it would annoy Paul.
I am not the type of person who I think Cormac's hinting that I am right now. Okay, I am not that type of person. There are forums and anonymous Twitter handles for people like that. I know what it's on about because somebody at work, in fact, all the puzzles are fitting in together now. A lad at work, he said to me, Tebs, have you seen Sandman? No, I ain't seen it yet. And he goes, it's very woke.
But it's not. Right, what people have to understand, right? Well, Sandman was woke in 89. You know, Sandman is one of the components and one of the first things, you know, that was a promoter of transgender, was a promoter of, you know, ambiguous sexuality, ambiguous organs, you know, gay people, LGBTQ+I, you know, every single one. Sandman was originally what this is, and it annoys me when people come to me and go, oh, it's too gay. Like, well, unfortunately, that's what Sandman was, you know.
Okay, so worth watching?
It is well worth watching. It is absolutely beautifully shot. I think the acting in it is stellar. It has enough of the original two first volumes that will keep people who know Sandman involved in it. And it has enough new stuff in it that'll keep new people, you know, coming to it. Thoroughly, thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed.
I watched Jurassic World Dominion.
Oh, God.
Finally. And we've got to do an episode. We have to do an episode on this film.
Obviously, the best thing in it is Omazone Sam Neill, you know.
Oh, Omazone Sam Neill is actually incredible in it.
Of course he is, because he's incredible in everything.
But just think what... Quickly off the bat, you haven't seen the film, have you?
I haven't.
What do you love about big dinosaur theme park films the most?
Dinosaurs.
Yeah, locusts, you're right. Welcome to Locust World. Honest to God, man, we're doing it. Right, first of all, we'll just mention... Obviously, I'm sure you've heard, Olivia Newton-John passed away this week, 73 years old. Star of Grease, she was born in, Australia, raised in Melbourne, Australia. And I think she was quite ill over the last years of her life. And no, it's quite sad. It's quite sad. She was one of those who was like, she never caused anyone any trouble.
So, do you know what? You're right. I think Sandy is one of the most iconic cinema, characters, performances, whatever you want to put it in. You know, you've got Xanadu, you know, the whole pile of things, you know, mixed in Olivia Newton-John. Mostly, again, it's gonna go down to Grease. You know, people remember from Grease, and that's about the height of it. And it's sad, you know, it is sad. It's another cultural icon from our childhood gone.
Yeah. And you got Xanadu and Dancing with the, I think she's on Dancing with the Stars and Grease.
Did she do physical, or was that Fonda? It was Olivia Newton-John, wasn't
it? Let's get physical.
Yeah, that was Olivia Newton-John, wasn't it?
I thought it was Gloria Estefan.
Hold on.
You crack on. Eternals 2 is happening according to Patton Oswalt. He obviously wasn't under, he was on Kevin Feige's CC email list. Say nothing, Patton. Say nothing.
Physical was Olivia Newton-John.
I'm very sorry. Sorry, Gloria Estefan, and sorry, Olivia Newton-John. Patton Oswalt, so he says he's going to be playing Pip the Troll alongside Harry Styles as.
Do we need it?
What, Eternals 2 by Chloe Zhao?
Do we need it?
You know what? There are a lot of people who watched it who go, do we need it? And a lot of people who watched it and go, no, we don't need another one. And then there's about 20 people who saw it, who love it to bits. Oh my God, it was the most beautiful MCU film I've ever seen in my life. And it's like, right.
It wasn't.
No, it wasn't.
But it wasn't. It nobody could like that film. It wasn't good. There was nothing good in that movie.
There's about 20 very loud people on the internet who are disagreeing.
If you are, fuck you. Thanks for listening, though.
Thanks for listening. Fuck off. Just unsubscribe if you liked. No, I'm not going to go there.
No.
So, yeah, we're getting Eternals 2, and that's probably going to come in Phase 5. So we're going to have... They're going to be there in... I'm totting up how many people we're going to... So far, we've got She-Hulk. She-Hulk's a definite for the next sort of set of films coming up. Thunderbolts, what have Eternals in? Yeah, look, it's exciting times. Right, big news this week. Batgirl was in production. It was in post-production. They'd finished filming a DCEU for Warners, and they were making their big $90 million Batgirl film. And they announced over the past week or so that they were actually going to cancel this film and can it not. This wasn't pre-production. This wasn't people had started filming a couple of early sets, rehearsing. They'd got everything, bit of footage in the can. Brendan Fraser's role in there. Michael Keaton was in. And there are a multitude of reasons why they're trying to explain why this was cancelled. There's the Warner side of it. There's DC side of it. There's the fans who are absolutely outraged. We're not going to see this Batgirl film. First of all, what's your thoughts about them cancelling a massive tentpole film like that?
The one thing that sticks in my mind is this, and only this. How fucking bad must it have been?
Yeah.
Because let's look at their track record. Let's look at fucking Suicide Squad was a steaming pile of shit. Let's look at, you know, even the, like, Batman v Superman. You know, let's look at Justice League. They released that twice and it was still shit. You know, so how...
Birds of Prey, they released it. Changed the title and it was still shit. They are basically... So, yeah, they've released this film. Well, no, they're not going to release the film. They've canned it. And, well, first of all, there's a report that they did a single test screening and the reviews were far from glowing. Warner, DC kind of looked at this and went, we're in trouble here. This is going to be another stinker. It's going to damage the brand beyond repair. This is going to start affecting the Batman brand now because this is bad. Do we fix it and spend another $50 million or do we scrap it? And they had to decide what they wanted to do, so scrapped it. Another train of thought is that basically it's a tax write-off, that if they were to make money on this, even a minuscule amount in the next financial year, they'll be paying more tax than if they write this off as a $90 million loss.
Surely they would have known that before they filmed it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but before they film it, they plan on releasing it and making money and paying a bit of tax. You know, when what they don't want is a massive loss next year and paying more tax rather than writing $90 million of expenses off as losses to the business. It is less tax, but it's fucking ridiculous if you do. Then we've got the train of thought that not only is it a shit film, things like Michael Keaton's Batman suit was supposed to be pretty crap, pretty cheap looking. And Warner have just been taken over by Discovery, or they've just merged with Discovery. They want to either, well, up to now, they've been releasing big movies on HBO Max streaming and in the cinemas at the same time. Then sometimes they just do HBO Max exclusives, which don't bring in a lot of money. This was supposed to be a HBO Max exclusive. If they release it there, they'll lose money. If they release it in the pictures, they'll lose money. So do they spend more money now on making bigger, big budget, $300 million cinema releases, or do they focus on HBO? And this is what they decided to do. So rather than waste the time with this, they've just cast it off.
You know what this reminds me of? It reminds me of the Bob Hoskins story from The Untouchables. Have you ever heard this? So basically, Bob Hoskins gets a phone call from Brian De Palma. Brian De Palma says, listen, I want you to play Al Capone. And he's like, okay, send me the script. So Brian De Palma sends him the script. They literally had a 10-minute phone call with him. Brian De Palma sends him the script, loves it. Bob Hoskins loves the script. He's like, you know what? This is going to be great. He finds out through his agent, who's the same agent as Bobby De Niro, that Bobby De Niro got the part from De Palma. And he's like, oh, fuck, it's a bit of a dick move that he didn't tell me. But yeah, whatever. A couple of days later, he gets a letter in the mail. And it's a check from Brian De Palma for $200,000. And he's like, fucking hell, this must be a mistake. So he rings up Brian De Palma and he goes, listen, this must be a mistake. You've sent me a check for $200,000. He goes, yeah, that was for your time. And he's like, right, okay. And he goes, listen, if you've got any more fucking roles that you don't want me to be in, Brian, just you keep fucking sending those checks my way.
And so that's, like I say, the argument is that Warner now, they're having to save money everywhere. The billions in debt, so they need to save money where they can. They're cutting off certain film franchises they're carrying on with, some they can in. There's all sorts of films now. They're putting the Joker sequel into production because that is going to make another
billion. That's going to
be a hit. That's a hit there. Now, this is the argument about why everyone's saying, why isn't The Flash getting cancelled? Because Ezra Miller has been arrested again. What was it for this time? I can't remember. It was
felony burglary, I think.
Felony is jail time. No more slapping on your wrist.
But he's The Flash, Paul. He can run away.
You're not going to catch me, copper.
Going to catch me. He's literally lying on the cell. They are lying on the cell floor.
They're just lying on the cell floor, tripping the bollocks off the
wall. I'm The Flash. I don't get it. I don't understand how they still haven't cancelled it. They must have so much riding on The Flash. Beyond what we even know. Like, it must be everything to them in the future.
I think this is the reboot.
You think?
Yeah, it's got to be. Just reboot the whole thing. New Superman, new Batman, do whatever you want. Just reboot it all.
Do you know why I think they should refilm it? They should put Kevin Spacey in it.
What, in every role?
Even better.
All playing the same character, Frank Underwood, that he does on Christmas Eve.
Yeah, Jesus.
So yeah, that's pretty surprising that they pulled that film and everyone was outpouring their outrage at such a move and ruining people's art. And now there is a call from at least one person, because I put on release the Batgirl cut. There is a cut of Batgirl out there. We need to see it.
If I was a conspiracy theorist, I would think, maybe, do you know what? Let's hold it for 2 years, then release it. We'll probably make more money doing it that way than the other way.
This they've got it in the can now.
But that's what
I mean.
5 years'
time, they can release it. They could easily do it in 5 years' time or whatever. Next time they're short of something and they just need to release a new movie.
You think of the amount of money that they put behind these things. These people probably know the analytical stats of what they'll get monetary wise through it. They've probably done the work and they've probably realized we're only going to make like double the money of the budget. But if we hold on to it for 2 years, get a big outcrying on Twitter, you know, we might be able to make three times as much.
Pretty much. Won't surprise me. Or they could go the totally thing that Ryan Reynolds didn't do and release some footage online. Just release a bit of footage and let people see it. And then you've got to build excitement for it. That's how you get a campaign. That's how you get a movement to create something.
Yeah.
Rather than just Zack Snyder casually showing bits of bits of newspaper and drawings while he's having a coffee, and the whole internet goes mental. Oh my God, sex vision. Did you watch Prey?
I did. So I did. Yes, I seen that too. I seen your cat.
Did you see the cat go behind me? Because yeah. I didn't know she was in here. So I'll tell you what, you tell me if you watched Prey, and I'm just going to let the cat out. One second.
No worries. Yes, in fact, I did watch Prey. You can't hear me though, so there's no point in talking. La 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 la. Paul's letting the cat out now. He's got his headset back on. No, and we're back in the room. Yes, I did. I did watch Prey. I watched it last night. Have you seen it?
I wanted you to carry on talking so I didn't have to edit anything out.
Well, you don't still don't have to edit anything out. I entertained for like 20 seconds. But anyway, yes, I watched it. Did you watch it?
I cannot believe I locked the cat in here while I'm recording. Did I watch Prey? Yes, I did. Yes,
I did. Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah, I watched Prey. I was looking forward to it. I was excited. Okay.
Spoilers for the next.
Spoilers for Prey. We recently found out that we accidentally spoiled Thor for people when we talked about the post-credit scenes last week. So
it's been out a month, people. Grow up.
Yeah, but, you know, we get it. So, spoiler alert for Prey. Spoiler alert for Jurassic World next week. In fact, spoiler alert for every film that's ever come out. We should just change it to the spoiler alert podcast. Well, just, if you listen to it, it's your fault.
To be fair, there's nothing really there to spoil.
What, in Prey?
Yeah.
Nah, there's one thing. There's one thing where you go, oh.
What did you think?
Not bad. See, I was... The recent Predator films, The Predator, which was an absolute steaming pile of garbage, the Alien versus Predator films, where the first one was not bad, the second one was pish. The Predators film from Rodriguez wasn't bad. It was all right for what it was. But this was the most akin to the original film of what I loved about the original film, is that you've got a warrior or a hunter going up against another one. One's Predator, one's Prey, and the roles reverse when the character develops. I loved that. I just thought it was a $50 million film that should have looked 80, 90. It just wasn't. What do you think?
Yes, there were a few CGI moments that you get a gloss over and you go, yeah, I enjoyed it. You know, it was something different. I think they went down the route of hour 35, bish, bash, bosh, out the door, which is brilliant. They didn't hang on for 2.5 hours trying to build some fucking mythology and all that jazz. I like that end. I just think people went over the odds saying, oh, it's amazing, it's unbelievable, it's great, it's outstanding. And you're like, yeah, it was all right. You know, it was passable. It was good. You know, it was enjoyable. It was just a normal movie. But we'll say this, I can see this becoming now part of the franchise. It's like Assassin's Creed Predator.
Yeah, this is...
It'll be Viking Age Predator, Middle Age Predator, Ninja Predator, you know, that kind of thing.
I like that idea.
Yeah, and I'm there.
Every Predator film that's come before now, right? So first one, obviously. Second one, it had hints towards the first, but not massively. It was just a Predator in LA. Predators didn't link back to the first one that much. Yes, the Predator tried to do, and there's all nods here and there, but... As a key part of the Predator like history, I really enjoyed it. I'd put it in, out of all those films I mentioned, I'd put it top three Predator films, which it don't sound good. It sounds great, but considering what they're up against.
First one, like LA versus Predator Prey.
Yeah, no.
So I say you're wrong.
Predator 2, Prey, just.
Ah! Uh-huh.
Predator 2's good.
Yeah, no, I would say Predator 2, AVP, then Prey.
Yeah, see, Prey I really enjoyed. I enjoyed the...
No, you're wrong.
No, I enjoyed the simplicity of it.
Yeah, no,
it's a hunter trying to prove themselves against the biggest prey, and that prey is the biggest hunter. I love that concept of it. And it's simple. Like you say, an hour and a half. No, we didn't learn about the lead character that much.
And likable characters. They're likable.
I think the characters who we're supposed to like, we liked. I think the "if it bleeds, we kill it" line was a bit forced. I just didn't need that. The people we're not supposed to like. See, that's the difference between the original.
The brothers' friends,
a bunch of dicks. But the original, we loved all the characters and we wanted them all to survive. And that's why we were sad when they died. This was we know they're cannon fodder, so let's make them dicks because we want to see them die. Now, there were good action scenes as well. There was some great... I'm just talking in terms of the look of it. If you think of having a cinematography akin to The Northman that came out recently, Power of the Dog, you know, that kind of epic Western... Yeah. Grainy, sparse. The Revenant, I can't remember the names. I'm a bit of cinematographers are not my forte, but you know, The Revenant, you know, you really get the feel that somebody's shooting this through the light in the, and those scenes, those epic landscapes where Prey was filmed would have just looked amazing, and you would have had this real visceral Predator film going back to basics, and instead it just looked a bit free on Hulu, you know.
I did like some of the shots in it. The shot where it's like a Predator shot, up above shot, where you can see like people moving around, but they kind of just look like ants walking through a forest.
Yeah, yeah.
That kind of shot. I actually quite like them kind of shots. But I thought the landscapes were quite nice. They were beautiful. And again, the characters didn't annoy me. I thought the guy who plays the brother was outstanding. I think the girl, the main lead in it, was outstanding. Amber Midthunder.
Yeah.
Okay, what's the other guy's name? Do you know?
Dakota Beavers.
Dakota Beavers.
And the Predator was Dane DeLiego.
I enjoyed it anyway.
What was the last thing? Oh, the key shot for me was where she first encounters the Predator and is taking on the bear. And he just sort of almost rips the bear in half, and he's this invisible Predator just getting covered in blood. And that is a great shot. There was some really great shots. It was a really well-told film because it was simple. I very much enjoyed it. Like, not a patch on the first. It's never going to be a patch on the first one. Dan Trachtenberg, director of The Boys, same director as Prey.
Dan Trachtenberg? Mm. Why does his name sound familiar?
Because he directed The Boys and Prey.
All right.
10 Cloverfield Lane. Black Mirror, an episode of Black Mirror. What's he done writing? Yeah, he's done a bit of everything. Yeah. One to watch, kids. Quiz. We do a quiz weekly.
And quiz.
Basically, on Mondays, we release bite-sized trivia quiz. Subscribe and you'll get it every Monday, and you can have a little quiz against yourself or against somebody else. Cormac loves to take part. And
can I just say something, though? I had in my head Trachtenberg. I thought, Trachtenberg, why am I hearing that name? And it was Michelle Trachtenberg that was in my head. And I was like, So I went on the Wikipedia, and it specifically says under Dan Trachtenberg's personal life, he is not related to Michelle Trachtenberg. Sorry for interrupting.
Thank you, Wikipedia.
You're welcome, everybody. You don't have to fucking Google that shit no more.
See, there were people who were going to stop the podcast just then to go, is he on about Michelle Trachtenberg? So I'm sure she's related to Dan Trachtenberg.
She's definitely not. It's in his Wikipedia.
This is his Wikipedia, so it's got to be true. So we do a quiz. At the end of the last week's episode, I asked you a question. Some people got it straight away, I think. Some people are still thinking on it. You promised me you wouldn't Google it and cheat.
And I definitely did. I definitely didn't, because I forgot about it completely.
So the question was, at the end of the quiz episode last Monday, what links the films, or what connects the films with Neil and I, Tenet, and I've forgotten the other one. It's been a very long day. This says right for not having it in front of me. With Neil, what connects the... So last Monday, I asked you the question, what connects the following films with Neil and I, Tenet, and Layer Cake?
Well, if I was a betting man, I would say it's a McGann somewhere. There's a thousand McGanns. So I know Paul McGann was in with Neil Nye. I'm almost sure there was a McGann in Layer Cake as well. And that's all I can think of.
Nope. It's more of a... Okay, I'll just tell you. The answer is all three. Okay. If I was to also include the film Fight Club... What connects the films?
Imaginary characters?
Not quite. What connects the films Tenet, With Neil and I, Fight Club, and Layer Cake?
Oh, I know it now. You don't know the character's name.
the lead character has no given name.
Yes,
in Layer Cake, it was XXXX.
Well,
in the subtitles and stuff.
Well, I'm just going to let you know. They do in with Neil Nye. His name's Marlowe.
Yeah, that was in the script, but not in the actual film. But in the script, it does. That's not in the film. So suck your smug face. That's not. It never mentioned in Marlowe. It's written in the script, though, isn't it?
I don't know. But it's a good question. It's a good question. It's not mentioned in the movie.
Right. Question. Speaking of questions, we actually had a question from Twitter.
Okay.
Somebody slid into our DMs. Mike from Minnesota.
Okay.
Right. He says, "Who, with all the talk of casting for the new X-Men roles, who do we want to see play Magneto and Charles Xavier?"
That's hard because every actor in the world has been in a Marvel or an X-Men movie in the past 20 mm-hmm. years. Everybody. Every actor.
All of them.
Every single one of them. They've all been in there.
All of them.
I don't know. Maybe just go outside the box a wee bit. Now, I did see, is it Giancarlo Esposito has been talked about for Professor X?
Professor X, yeah.
I'd be there for that 100%. I'd be in for that.
So
Magneto, though.
Here's my suggestion.
Okay.
Professor X. Ralph Fiennes.
Oh, no, I've got one.
Professor X, Ralph Fiennes.
No.
Magneto, Bryan Cranston.
Yeah. I've got a better Magneto, though.
Go on.
I've got one. Christoph Waltz.
Oh. It'd fit the...
voice, accent voice and stuff as well. Yeah.
Giancarlo Esposito as Professor X.
Mm-hmm.
Christoph Waltz as Magneto.
There you go,
Mike.
That's it.
Glad we could help. Well, thanks for tuning in, everybody. Be sure to...
That's the best thing we're going to do this week.
Now, what we are going to do, or what Cormac's going to do, is he's going to explain to us all why he had me watch one and a third Steven Seagal films and about...
Can we just all be honest about this? Paul couldn't even sit through two Steven Seagal movies.
Hey, do you have a podcast, or maybe you're just thinking about starting a podcast? Well, I am Chris from Podtastic Audio, and here I show you tips and tricks on how to make your audio sound the best it possibly can with the gear you already have. With 2 years of experience on the Chris and Christine Show creating the finest audio I possibly can make, I will show you the tips and tricks I have used on that show to make the audio sound fantastic. So if you have any podcast-related questions to your audio, you always can email me at podtasticaudio@gmail.com like this guy here did. His name is Joe. Joe writes in from the cast. Hey, Chris, when we all sit down together to record our episode, our audio is too low and it has a lot of echo in the recording. How do we make our show sound better? Well, Joe, is the microphone you're using rhyme with the name Betty? And is that microphone in the same room with you? I'd start with that stuff first. And for more podtastic audio information, you can go to anchor.fm/podtasticaudio and you keep on making your amazing podcast.
Come on, let's get this over with. That's the way to start a podcast segment, isn't it?
let's get this. Let's knock this out in 15, Corm.
Okay. I've thought, seeing as though I'm taking a play out of the Cormac playbook, when we did James Bond, I was banging to talking about the Daniel Craig films one after the other, how they evolved the character, and you wanted to tell me sexual innuendo one-liners.
Mm-hmm.
So, while you're talking about Marked for Death and Under Siege and...
Hello, are you leaving this up to me?
While you're chatting about that, I'm going to read you a few stories off the internet about the everybody's favourite Seagal, Steven Seagal. So, Marked for Death, why did I have to watch that?
Well, I've got a couple of questions about Marked for Death. Why are Jamaicans the bad guy?
I get a feeling Steven Seagal was watching an episode of like 60 Minutes about a Jamaican gang in LA or something.
Do you know exactly what it was?
You know what? It'd be a really good film. Some Jamaican guys. How long
did you sit there going, he's definitely going to do an accent?
He's definitely
going to do an accent. Like,
see, director, I'm just thinking if I do an accent.
do you want to know something else? Like, I did write a couple of notes. Like off the start, I got absorbed. I got absorbed, obviously, by the story because it's such a great story. But Steven Seagal running. Have you ever seen something as funny as Steven Seagal running at the start of this movie? Why does he run like Raheem Sterling?
I don't think he knows how to run. I think he's been used to stepping forward two or three paces. That's the length of his physical activity.
I get the impression that Steve, like, even his choice of wardrobe. We all know that Steven Seagal chooses his own wardrobe. Why is he wearing velour suits everywhere?
Because it's Steven fucking Seagal.
Like, everywhere he goes, he's wearing velour suits.
Steven Seagal made life hell for Saturday Night Live cast in 1991, mm-hmm. when he was critical of their writing. According to one of the writers, he said, Seagal learned you couldn't insult and say people are stupid on a Wednesday and expect them to continue writing for you on a Saturday.
I think that was Bob Odenkirk who actually said that.
It was one of the moments where, according to Julia Sweeney, mm-hmm. Seagal wanted to perform a sketch where he played a therapist who wants to sleep with a rape survivor.
Mm-hmm.
He was banned from hosting the show ever again.
Well, I'll give you even better than that. They've deleted the fucking episode.
Really?
You cannot get the episode anywhere. The bad blood that he caused in the Saturday Night Live studio is just so infamous, because there's a few people, the Conan O'Brien, Bob Odenkirk, you know, a lot of famous fucking people now, you know, wrote for Saturday Night Live. Bob Odenkirk did an interview on, I think it was Howard Stern. I think that's where that first part came from, because he mentioned the stuff about basically he couldn't understand humor. But he thought that everything in his head was funny. He thought all he had to do was turn up and people would find him appealing. He didn't want to do anything that damaged his image. So he couldn't be the butt of any joke.
No.
And the whole point about Saturday Night Live is you go on there and the star of the show is the butt of every fucking joke. That's the point. People, Tom Hanks, Tom Cruise, massive fucking stars go on Saturday Night Live and take the piss out of themselves. Steven Seagal couldn't.
And it's evident through his work. I know there's fans of his out there, and I get he was in some big films, as in supposedly popular. We'll come on to just how popular his films are later. But him as an action star, there is nothing remotely interesting about the fights that he does.
No.
Van Damme, yes, became a joke of himself, but he was in on it when he was that star of the 80s and 90s. He was in on his own joke, and he knew his talent, and they played to it. You look at Seagal's fight scenes, even in Exit Wounds in, what, 2000, 2001?
Mm-hmm.
I do not believe that anything on there that wasn't a wide shot, wide angle shot of him or from the front, I don't think anything was him. I think it was all standing. And it has been for years. It is a fake.
But
about the man, you learn how batshit crazy he is. And if for some reason he is still adored as a great Hollywood talent, and he is not.
I wouldn't, for me, I don't think really anybody has that thought of him anymore. You know, he has had so many, like recently, I just saw him, you know, fucking over in Russia, talking about how Russia hasn't done anything in the Ukraine. You know, that's where Steven Seagal is in his life. But I think one of the famous things from the Saturday Night Live episode that he did, the end sketch, right, was all these oil big tycoons talking about oil in this room. Now, they were all stuntmen. They were not actors from Saturday Night Live. So it was one of the first times that they had, you know, people who weren't necessarily on the show in sketches. They were talking about how much money they were going to make. Steven Seagal walks in and starts karate chopping and throwing them through walls and putting them through tables and all this stuff. He walks up to the screen and shouts, "That's what happens when you destroy the planet." And that was the sketch.
Fuck's sake.
Yeah, and it, like, it was apparently it was a I am not, the show won't go on unless this is in the show.
Jesus.
And I think Lorne Michaels just went, nah. Nah.
You mentioned, obviously, he's a friend of Putin. It's quite well known that he's a friend of Putin. November 2016, he received his Russian passport and became a citizen of the motherland. He's been banned from Ukraine, so God knows what he's doing there. But he is very much an apologist for Putin. He says he's like a brother to him, his friend, the first met at Moscow Film Festival. He is pro-Russia. Depardieu is there as well, Mickey Rourke. There are people who are friends with Putin who get certain benefits from him, and I fully believe this guy is one of them. It's just wrong.
I'm going to read this out to you, right? This is about Marked for Death. What film do you think was the template for Marked for Death?
Go on.
That's right. It was The French Connection.
I'll be honest, right? I put Marked for Death on. I hope my boss isn't listening to this. I put Marked for Death on when I were working from home one day, but I had the sound like really low because I was doing phone calls. And every so often I just turn around, there's a really angry Jamaican on, or Seagal's dropping off something or palming somebody away. And I'm just like, oh shit. And I had to turn it off. And then I tried putting it anyway. Carry on.
So
the French Connection
There's two more things I want to talk about about Marked for Death. And this will probably take up the rest of the talk for Marked for Death, right? Did you see the scene where he's on the run with the guy in the car and the Jamaicans drive through the department store?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Did you notice something funny about the stuntmen?
No, I didn't notice.
That one of them was Asian wearing blackface?
Really?
The whole way through that sequence, Paul. Then I went back on myself. Most of the stuntmen in Marked for Death were either white or Asian, wearing blackface.
Oh, Jesus.
And it is quite noticeable. And then, in the same scene, right, the car drives through the window in the department store. There's a shot where the camera's looking down or out to the street. The reflection of the glass, there's a guy in a white vest eating a sandwich, leaning up against the ladder.
Just leaning.
Just sitting, eating a sandwich, leaning up against a ladder in a white vest. I don't know what it is. He must be obviously behind the scenes. I couldn't stop thinking about it.
But this is the thing, though. This the point we're getting at is his films are fucking awful. His films are awful.
Pick out the common denominator, though, right? There were some really good things in Marked for Death. The guy who played Screwface, I thought he was scary as fuck. Like, I thought he was a really good bad guy. I thought that was great. But the common denominator about Marked for Death was every scene that Seagal was in was shit.
Yeah. He's got... Anyway, the top-rated film on Rotten Tomatoes for him is Under Siege. Now, again, what's the first thing you mentioned about Under Siege? You got this chef kicking people's heads in and Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah.
And it's Tommy Lee Jones. It's Tommy Lee Jones's film.
Yeah.
If Harrison Ford hadn't been so good in Air Force One, it would have been a Gary Oldman film. Hold on. It's that kind of performance.
Gary Busey's movie?
Borderline. Yeah. We'll wait for him in the sequel.
If you don't know the story about Gary Busey from the sequel, go listen to the episode last week.
Film made $82 million in 1992. Other than that, in terms of decent films that have been well-regarded, well-reviewed, Machete, which was not his film. Nothing about that was a Steven Seagal.
Was he in Machete?
Film. Yeah. An Executive Decision, which was renowned for... Yeah.
He died.
Spoiler alert. off camera. But this guy is just an ego. He is just a walking ego. Animal rights activist. But of course, he's got to go to extremes. Like you say, with those protests and all sorts of outspoken. I think the worst thing is there's lots of allegations come out about him over the last few years, hasn't
there? Oh, yeah, that he's a raper and a kidnapper?
yeah, this is where we start.
It's okay. He doesn't live in the Western Hemisphere anymore. He's in Russia. Our podcast is definitely banned in Russia. So he's not listening.
if we were listening to it at one point, I'm getting quite worried now. But well, like, he's going to fucking listen to us. But no, you know the story with, is it Julian Margulies?
Mm-hmm.
Just Google it.
He is the preeminent casting couch fucking douchebag. You know that, and I know that. You know, he is a person who, we spoke about it last week, the one picture that I Googled, the reason I Googled Katherine Heigl was because I thought Ashley Judd was in Under Siege 2, not Katherine Heigl, and I was trying to think, fuck, Ashley Judd's really, really old, so I was, like, what age was she playing back then? When I Googled Katherine Heigl Under Siege 2, the first image that popped up was Steven Seagal touching her breast. She was 16.
Jenny McCarthy was auditioning for a role in one of his films, and he asked her to take a top off. She saw the scripts and said there wasn't any nudity. And he responded saying it was off-camera nudity.
What a fucking scumbag.
This is according to Jenny McCarthy. He's been sued for sexual harassment.
Who has her own issues, we may add here.
yes, she does. He also, still a woman, he's also been sued for sexual harassment, illegal trafficking of females, failure to present sexual harassment. Juliana Margulies, she said, his trailer's around the corner from mine at Warner Brothers. I was walking by recently and he said, Margulies, come over here and show me some respect. He's not someone I want to keep in touch with. Now, I think there were a lot more to it, but just go Google it. Why is he still famous?
Is he though? Like, if Steven Seagal released a movie and it went into the cinema, how much realistically do you think that movie would make? How much of a pull is Seagal?
Let's have a look.
What's the last release that he's made?
The last film that was released in the box office. Oh my god, Machete in 2010. There might have been other ones, but there's just so many.
Everything's direct to video, isn't it? Everything that he's done,
everything's direct
to
video.
In the last 10, 12 years, is direct to video.
Is Belly of the Beast, Out for a Kill, The Foreigner, Half Past Dead. Took 15 million, Exit Wounds, 51 million. But again, that was DMX. That was the height of that late 90s, early 2000s.
Was Exit Wounds as well not the movie that he got the Mafia to do?
I've heard something to do with the Mafia, but again, I'm not even going to...
It was something to do with... It's questionable that movie made 51 million. Let's put it like that. It's questionable. I'm not going to besmirch the fucking Mafia.
No, we're not going.
I am scared of them. I'm not scared of fucking Steven Seagal.
I'm going to go for it. No, I'm not. So I don't know enough about that to go for that. But anyway, so he's making movies that are popular. Is a fucking... But is he one of these... He's now one of these... Van Damme. I'm going to compare him to Van Damme because it was around that time they both started becoming big.
Mm-hmm.
Van Damme went on and to actually recognize what a crazy bastard he is. And plays up to it. But then you get someone like Seagal who believes all his life he is the greatest. Probably because he surrounds himself by people who tell it. Now, he's got his martial arts background, his background in Japan, but doing all these films one after the other, they had nothing but paychecks for him.
There's nothing
unique about him and what he does.
He got lucky on a couple of early movies where he portrayed himself as a hard man. He probably was, you know, fucking teaching people Hapkido in fucking LA. And some guy went, oh, you better watch this guy, fucking Steven Seagal. He could be great. And he fucking lucked into movies and he became popular. And then when people fucking caught themselves on and realized that the man had zero fucking charisma, you know, let's be honest, Under Siege made him. Under Siege made him. And it was kind of like the last hit that he had, because everything after Under Siege was fucking garbage.
We all know he's an Arizona lawman, don't we?
Well, we all know he's a cop. You may not know me. Or you might, was it? You may know me as Steven Seagal movie star, but what you might not know is for the last 20 years I've been a cop. Fuck off, you cunt.
Apparently, it killed a puppy.
Yeah, and several chickens.
2011. So he's a Texas, fucking Arizona. I've just said it. Arizona.
Joe Arpaio. It's Joe Arpaio, man. Just if anybody doesn't know who Joe Arpaio is, just fucking Google him. He's a cunt. He's the guy that came up with the tent cities. Know them prisons.
So he's a volunteer police officer, and he
I've been a cop for 20 years.
Yeah, about four fucking months. And he basically conducted a heavily armed raid on somebody's house, drove through gates of the property in a tank before booting the front door in. Lavera, that lived there, said his house suffered considerable damage and wanted £60,000 compensation. And they were accused, they're accusing the homeowner of having an illegal cockfighting ring there. When they got there, basically they found a bunch of dead chickens and a dead puppy. And they suggested when Seagal went in, he shot the puppy.
Yeah. Well, maybe not him.
I'd like to think it was him. Just backs up my story about what.
Hey, I'm Steven Seagal. You may not know I'm a cop and I'm going to shoot your dog.
If you like this guy, if you like his movies and you like, basically, it's an action film star. He does fighting. Mm-hmm. Van Damme, Jet Li, Bruce Lee, whoever the fuck you want to watch. Johnny Jaa, modern day, they do fighting and you like to watch them doing fighting. What about this guy is interesting to watch? What was it about with Under Siege and Casey Ryback that shot him into stardom? Because that was the big film that everybody took notice. Why is an ex-CIA... Every film of his since then has been CIA, ex-CIA, now doing chef, mechanic, gardener.
Because he's an everyman. I'm Steven Seagal. You might not know that I'm an everyman.
I've been an everyman for 20 years. Now I'm going to go put a cake in a microwave.
There's a great story on Behind the Bosses as well, where he kept talking that he was a fucking, that he was in special forces and all this jazz. And there was one time where he was doing some movie and with ex special forces guys, and they gave him a map and they were out in the middle of the water. And they basically said to him, you know, can you get us back to land here? He didn't even know how to read a fucking map. Yeah. I don't think you read the special forces, Stephen.
So if you like him, message us at Pod Movie Chef. Why do you like him? Why is he the greatest?
He's a cunt.
He is. He touches women. He is the epitome of the casting couch. He's a Putin apologist. He can't fight. He can't act. He doesn't make money anymore. He kills
puppies. I'll make this now. Steven Seagal, if you're listening to this, I will meet you at any point in Belfast. And I will have a fight with you anywhere you want. I promise you. I promise you I will be there and I will fight you. I promise you I will be there. Somebody fucking tweet this shit. I will fight Steven Seagal. Me and Steven, wherever. As long as it's within like a 10-mile radius, which is like only Belfast. As long as Steven Seagal comes to Belfast, I will fight him anywhere.
The fact is, he's so close to Putin, you know he's on a no-fly list right now.
Front of the Europa Hotel, outside the Odyssey, you know, where the Harlem Wolf Cranes are, you name it, son, I'll be there.
Fucking tourist information for Belfast right now. If you want to fight outside the old Primark that burnt down, go straight ahead.
Hey, opening again in November. Opening again in November.
That was like 5 years since I've been when it burnt down.
4 years?
Yeah. The Primark burnt down in Belfast. It's a very old building, though, wasn't it?
It was a listed building. It was beautiful. Better than Steven Seagal.
Which buildings do you think are more beautiful than Steven Seagal?
I will fight you in Primark, Steven Seagal.
The Louvre in Paris. I'll meet yours. There we go. I'll meet. In fact, you know those moments in time, you know, where you look back at crazy things that happened? And they're like reading your obituary on the news and they go, it all started as a podcast idea that ran swiftly out of hand.
Then Steven Seagal walked up behind him in Belfast. You might know me as Steven Seagal from the movies. I'm here to kick your fucking ass, Cormac.
Now, just stay there while I go and get somebody else to put a ponytail on and do the big kicks for me because I can't get my hip.
Let me grab your hand and show you some Aikido moves. Have you seen his fucking the trailers of him doing Aikido and how fat he is now as well? And all these guys like rolling as soon as he touches him, and he's just literally is so blasé. But the whole thing, he's just lifting his hand. Whatever.
It's also an accomplished blues artist.
Oh, don't start. I mean,
come on. Let's have a. We obviously thrive on our music choices at the end of an episode, and I think this episode has to go out with some Mr. Seagal playing his blues. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, I'm thinking of such albums as Songs from the Crystal Cave.
Oh.
Deep referential music, especially Me Want the Punani is very much, I think, a song that resonates with anybody out there that wants the Punani.
Paul, it's on Spotify.
It's, yes, I think we know what's going to happen there.
Okay, so let's go. Might sound like Eric Clapton. It's not. That's enough of that.
Well, I think we know what's coming later on. He also was a fan of he wrote the song Strut. Basically, such an eclectic. Well, so many to choose from. So many hits.
I mean, I've literally heard none of these.
Girl, It's All Right. Don't You Cry. Better Man. Route 23. Lollipop.
War.
Genre: rock, blues, dancehall, reggae.
What?
Make up your mind.
Dancehall reggae?
Apparently, according to a lot of people, his music is garbage. But his lyrics are shit. Please,
the hours are long, but the money is terrible.
Again, I'm appealing. I'm appealing for people to message us on social media and tell us, did you pay money for a Steven Seagal album in a shop while sober? Do you own Mojo Priest on vinyl or cassette? Please. you know, Me Want the Punani is going on at the end of this episode. I can't talk about him anymore. I wanted to talk about loads of funny things about his films and rip the piss, but the man's just an awful man.
Horrible.
And nobody recognizes. Well, people do, but he hasn't been cancelled. You know, you don't see this big. He's just kind of there, just sticking his oar in, thinking people want to know what he's on about.
Steven Seagal is such a cunt. Not even Jeffrey Epstein would have him on a plane. Do you know what I mean?
It was obviously there or there about Seagal.
He had the island next to fucking Jeffrey Epstein's island.
But Seagal was sort of.
You may know me as Steven Seagal, but this is my island. This is my island, and I'm going to rape women like you rape women. Allegedly.
I can just imagine him. Epstein's just on his beach one morning, you know, looking out to sea, and over the way there's another island, and Seagal's just doing Aikido on the beach naked. Just standing on the back of a turtle, just doing Aikido.
Ghislaine, he's back again. He's fucking looking at me.
Get the plane, we'll leave it. Donald, get your kit, we're going.
I'm a bastard, he is a fucking cunt.
Did you know he shot a puppet? Oh, I know.
What?
Right. So any highlights of Steven Seagal's career you want to talk about?
Tom Arnold was in Exit Wounds. Tom Arnold is always a delight.
That's who I wanted to talk about. Tom Arnold is always Tom Arnold.
Always a delight.
But he is always a delight. What has he been in? I mean, obviously he's been in some bad films.
No.
Come on.
No.
We're not doing Tom Arnold next week, but he's dependable, isn't he?
Do you remember the movie? Like the fast talking Carpool. Is it Carpool that he was in? That was funny.
Oh, you're just reminiscing about funny films. Okay.
Somebody's going to come back now. There's something Tom Arnold now as well, isn't there? I bet you there is.
He'll be accused of all sorts. Well, but then again, if all the bad stories have come from Roseanne, who we're siding with. Okay, followers, Twitter at PodMovieChef, Instagram PodMovieChef, Facebook, do whatever you want. If you listen to us on Spotify, go back to the homepage, click on the little star, click 5 stars, click submit. It'll say thank you for your review, and we will give you a shout out if you tell us you did it. Thank you. Subscribe to us so you can listen to our quiz episode on Monday. And seeing as though we've talked about Prey and we talked about Steven Seagal, the quiz this week is going to be on movie Predators. So subscribe and get the quiz this Monday for the movie Predators quiz. Guess which way those questions are going to go. And give us a listen, give us a review. Messages, DM us if you've got any questions you want us to answer. Casting choices, new films coming out, suggestions for films. One guy, Johnny from New York, said we should do Gosford Park. And also, then
the fancy British one?
Yeah, you're British.
Oh, Harvard, let's go to the barbecue. Oh, no.
George, close the window. There's a draft. Thank you. That's it. Downton Abbey is just lots of people walking into a room going, oh my. So no, we're not doing Gosford Park. we are doing Death to Smoochie.
Yes.
Hang on. Is Death to Smoochie on streaming?
No, of course it's not.
Jesus, do I have to pay for all our 7 listeners to go and watch Death to Smoochie?
I will 100% buy Death to Smoochie because it's great.
Death to Smoochie, Robin Williams, Ed Norton. We're doing that next week. Chef special. It's been coming. We normally talk about films that mean something to us. We're doing Death to Smoochie. Anything new from you? Anything more than you?
No, I just like the fact that this was just an episode where we criticized Steven Seagal for 20 minutes and then see you later, bye.
Welcome to the Who's a Cunt podcast.
I had to watch Exit Wounds and Mark for Death and Under Siege 2 and Under Siege 1.
Death to Smoochie isn't on streaming.
Yeah.
Oh, no. It ain't even available to buy.
You can buy
it on Apple TV. Oh, that's horrendous. That film needs to be seen by more people. Right. Possibly Death to Smooch next week. Jurassic World Dominion next week as well.
Okay.
This is me letting you listeners know and Cormac know that he needs to watch Jurassic World. So Jurassic World 6 next week and Death to Smoochie so everybody can listen. See ya.
Yeah. Fuck Steven Seagal. And remember, anywhere in Belfast, my friend. Anywhere sunshine. Mr. Steven Seagal, pride of our Jamaica, same one, what is y'all? So them send me in the sock, I have done no more wrong. You see me? So, would you really want that night? Me want the body if you make me feel nice. Why? Tell me where you really want all night. Me want the punani if you make me nice. Me want the body, him want the punani. I mean, no way nice. So, when the girls start to strut, you could look at their butt, you shouldn't do that. The girl dress is just a pity, not just there to cover her kitty. When me a fling it up, you better know if you back it up. When me a dash it up, make sure you black it up. If you ever flap it up, then me a go lock it up. Park it up like Benji Wardrop. So, me want the body if you make me feel nice. Why? Tell me what you really want. All night. Me want the punani if you make me nice. Me love the way you walk, sometimes the way you talk is so hot. Now you know, let's have a shot of rum. Then me can make you come with me to the ocean. That would be fat. You can be my bow cat. Nice vital breeze. Bring it to your knees. Good jamming.